Every day, something unexplained happens in the world. Someone vanishes off the face of the planet. Unidentified dead people just show up. Mysterious murders. Strangers stalking you. And we are here to tell you all about it. Every other Tuesday on rabbitholepodcasts.com, I Have a Weird One collects these weird stories and presents them to you, the morbidly curious audience. And who knows, the next story we tell might be about you. Listen to I Have a Weird One on Apple, Amazon Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your weird podcasts from.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Top 5 A through Z. I am your temporary host, Jason Soto. Our usual host, Bill Zaney, is still out. He'll be here sometime, I'm sure, of it. But I am taking over hosting duties, so hello. I am joined by the Top 5 co-host, Pete. Hello, Pete. How are you?
How's it going?
It is going wonderful. Hey, we have a guest, so behave yourself, because I like this. I like this person a lot. She is my co-host over at the FBI's Most Unwanted, an X-Files podcast, and she is the biggest sports baseball nerd I think I know, which is saying a lot, because I know a lot of sport nerds. My friend Brenda. Hello, Brenda.
Howdy.
Welcome to the Top 5 universe. We've sucked you in.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you can be here. You're fun to talk to.
Oh, thanks. I'm delightful.
You know what? You fucking are a delight. So before we get to today's topic, I need to do some business because I am still in charge of Rabbit Hole Podcasts, and as the president of Rabbit Hole Podcasts, I demand that we get paid. So through a contract, I have to say this. All the shows we do here, Rabbit Hole Podcast, are sponsored by Audible. You can go to audibletrial.com/rabbitholepod, and you get to try Audible absolutely free for 30 days. You can download any audiobook, original show, or podcast that you want. After 30 days is up, you only pay $14.99 a month to access more audiobooks, original shows, or podcasts. You can cancel it anytime you want. And if you do cancel for whatever stupid reason you've feel the need to cancel it, anything that you've downloaded is yours to keep for the rest of your life. So you can pass that off to your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids and your great-great-great-grandkids and that one slutty great-great-great-grandniece that you don't talk about. She can have your audiobooks as well. So there you go. audibletrial.com/rabbitholepod. You out there listening, using that link helps us out here at Rabbit Hole Podcasts. So thank you. You can also support us by going to patreon.com/rabbitholepods. $3 a month is going to get you into the door, and you get access to super neat stuff, you guys. There's all kinds of great goodies, bonus shows, hidden things that regular people don't know about. There's all kinds of great stuff, and you get episodes early. So that right there is worth the $3 alone, because you get to hear shit before everyone else does. Who does not like to get into the VIP section and experience something early? I know I do. If I get the opportunity to go into something early, I'm there. So patreon.com/rabbitholepods. All right. So today, Pete, Brenda, We are doing our top five favorite sports movies. Now, Pete, this was your idea. Tell the good people why.
All right. We lost somebody awesome. Our buddy on here, Bill, our co-host, he lost his uncle, Bob Palma. Bob Palma was a big Cubs fan. Me and him would argue a lot because I'm a Sox fan, you know, when we used to work together at Sam's Discount Liquor in the spot. And, you know, I'm going to miss this guy. He was funny as hell. Even the arguments became really funny, like, you know, at times and stuff and everything. We would say, like, who was the better player, whatever, you know. And he go, hey, Petey, how about those Cubs? You know, he almost sounded like that, too. Hey, Petey. So this episode right here is dedicated to my old buddy, Bob Palma. And Bill's uncle, because I know he'd appreciate it up there looking down saying, man, PD actually recognized me. Holy cow. But, you know, it was good working with the guy. He was a fun dude. So, you know, we're going to miss Bob.
Yeah. And, yes. Yeah. He was a cool guy.
And my condolences to Bill and his family.
Yes. Condolences to Bill Zaney and his family and all around. Absolutely. So we're doing a tribute list. We are doing our top five favorite sports movies. I thought this was going to be rough because, as Brenda knows, I am not a sports person. Brenda says stuff on our FBI's Most Unwanted stuff about sports, and for all I know, she's making the shit up. She could just be, you know, pulling one over my eyes and is just saying words, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
I could be.
I mean, I don't know if RBI is an actual term or not. I don't know what the fuck that is. She'd just be saying random letters for all I know. But this was actually easier for me to make because I actually had to whittle this down. That's how many I was like, oh shit, I actually kind of like a lot of sports movies. So this was a little rough for me. I don't know, like you guys, before we get into it, just was this easy for both of you guys? Brenda, did you have a hard time making your list? Or
I did. I also had to whittle it down. And then I had to argue with myself about one of my choices. As to whether it actually is a sports movie or not. And I'm going to pitch an argument that it is.
Okay.
Whether you guys buy it or not, I have a backup. If you disqualify my movie.
I got one that we'll get to it, but I'm wondering. I don't want to ruin it and say what it is, but there's one I think you guys might give me shit for. What about you, Pete? Yeah, how easy was this for you?
If it was a top 10 list, there's going to be some movies that I didn't include in my five. But some people are going to go, how come you did not put those in the top five? You know, and you'll see what movies I'm talking about that I didn't add. But it's like, these are my personal favorites that I put on there. You know, there's one sport that I don't play that's on the list, you know, and there's like the other two I have played in my life. like I said, these are all great movies.
It's safe to say I've not played any of these five that I. So don't worry about that.
Yeah.
So that's it for that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, with that said, let's get going with our number fives here. So, Brenda, you're our guest. You get to go first. What's your number five favorite sports movie?
Okay. My number five favorite sports movie is actually a documentary.
Okay.
It's a baseball documentary. It's called No No. A documentary, and it's spelled D-O-C-K-umentary. And it's about Pittsburgh Pirate the late Doc Ellis. He was a very colorful character. He is known for famously, however you want to look at it, for pitching a no-hitter while on LSD. He was, you know, he struggled with addiction and with a lot of, you know, some domestic violence type issues throughout his life. By the time he retired, he got his shit together. Can I cuss on this plate?
Oh, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
It's my show. It's one of my shows I'm on, Brenda. Come on.
I don't know.
You can say cocksucker a thousand times if you want. So by all means.
Hit somebody, whatever.
But... You know, Doc was a colorful guy, and this, what I like most about this documentary is it doesn't pull any punches, much, you know, like Doc himself, and it, you know, doesn't shy away from his flaws, But it ultimately, it is a redemption story about how he pulled his life together and how, you know, this was, he got it together, mentored a lot of young people, helped them, people with addiction issues, before he died in 2008, I believe, of kidney disease. I think a lot of his issues health-wise were related to some of his drug and alcohol use and abuse in, you know, Pittsburgh in the 70s was a snowstorm, as they like to say. so I don't think that he, you know, I don't think he ever shied away from the fact that he had these issues. And I think it's a very poignant documentary, and it does bring a tear to my cold, dry, dark heart and eyes. So yeah. Okay. I like
it. All right. Excellent. I've never heard of it, I'll be honest, but that sounds cool. That sounds very cool. So
I had to search it out. Actually, like, I think it's from 2014.
Okay.
And it wasn't, and I think I saw it in maybe 2015, but I had to search it out and track it down. Now I think it's more widely available on different streaming platforms. But I actually did pay to see it. I think I rented it on iTunes back in like 2015. So.
Okay. All right, cool. All righty. Pete, number five, my man.
All righty. It's one of my favorite Denzel movies, too, actually. It's He Got Game from 1998. It's about this guy, Ray Allen, the real basketball player by team. He plays a fictional one in there. He's like a big prospect. College prospect, you know, he wants to go to NBA, all this other stuff, and his dad accidentally killed his mother and stuff, and he was in prison, and he gets the opportunity to get out of prison just for a little bit to try to get his son, because the governor or somebody, I forgot who, he was trying to say, okay, if you get your son in here, you get the early parole or whatever, you know, I think it was like early parole or something like that, I forgot how that went, and you can, you know, if you get your son into the game and stuff and to do all this stuff and everything, you're good. Sorry, I can't speak today. But usually I have better notes. But anyways, I talked to Jason about that already. But yeah, it's a great movie. And it's just about him trying to get his son into doing all this great stuff in basketball. And it's one of my favorite Spike Lee movies. It's actually a Spike Lee movie also. Mm-hmm. That's my short thing on it, because I don't want to spoil anything else.
Okay.
But the cast is great too. Like, you have Rosario Dawson, Emilia Lovovich. You have John Turturro. Rick Fox is actually in there too. If you know who Rick Fox is, Jennifer
Esposito. Yeah. I know Rick Fox is. Is he really salty in it? Or like, because he's really old. He's got to be like super old, right?
Well, he was a little younger in that one, because that was like in...
are you getting... Wait.
In 98.
I think you're getting something mixed up, Pete. So Red Fox was the comedian from the 70s who was in Sanford and Son?
Yeah. So no, Rick Fox, I said.
Oh, I thought you said Red Fox.
I heard Red Fox, too. So that's why...
Okay. No, I couldn't pick. If it sounded like Fred, I'm going to say
I was like, wait, was he even alive in 98?
I don't know. I mean, he'd be really old if he was.
He was old in the 70s, so
can you just see Red Fox in the NBA?
Yes.
Yes. 100%. All right. Okay, so my number five was just played at the last Dark Hole Film Fest that we just had a couple of weeks ago. In case anyone doesn't know, Dark Hole Film Fest is a movie festival I host. 12 hours of really bad, weird, fun movies. And this one came up starring the one, the only Hulk Hogan. I am talking about No Holds Barred, baby. Yeah. Yeah, you jockass. We're going to get into this, jockass. Kurt Fuller, Tiny Lester's in this. The guy who played Jacob on Lost was in this. People don't realize that. Yeah, that was him. Joan Severance is in this. There's a lot of people in this. It's a really awesome movie. and totally not based on Hulk Hogan's life whatsoever. He plays a guy named Rip. That's different from Hulk. Yeah, that's a totally different guy. Just because he's a blonde-haired giant wrestler who wrestles and is oily doesn't mean it's Hulk Hogan, you guys. That's a totally different guy. I'm playing. He's an actor. He's playing somebody different. Okay, you guys, don't get him confused. Whatever you do. Yeah, this is a fucking ridiculous fun movie. There's kind of a plot where, like, Colt Fuller runs a TV studio and he wants to get Hulk Hogan's character to come on his network and fight, but Hulk Hogan won't do it. So then Kurt Fuller tries out these weird hick biker guys to be on his show, and then Zeus shows up. And soon it's Zeus versus Rip. And, yeah, there's a lot of fucking weird scenes in this part. This is the part where Hulk Hogan, like, manhandles a limo driver who poops his pants. Kurt Fuller's calling him jockass every 5 minutes. There's a weird masturbation joke that ends up not being a masturbation joke. It's a trip. It was not on DVD for the longest time, but then it showed up finally on DVD. I was proud. Actually, it's right here to people. Here it is to right on this call right now, because I got the stack over here from the Dark Hole Film Fest still. But I had the DVD. I also had this on VHS because, you know, I'm me. And I fucking love this movie. I don't care. I am not at all into wrestling. I kind of was in the 80s a little bit when Hulk Hogan and, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage and all of them were big, but I kind of fell out of it. Now I don't fucking know what's going on. I know there's a guy named Chris Jericho, and that's kind of where my modern day wrestling begins and ends. Oh, and what's her name? Ronda Rousey now does it as well, so... Mm-hmm. Take that for what it's worth. Anyway, my number 5, sorry for blathering, is No Holds Barred, starring Hulk Hogan. Yeah, brother! all right, Brenda, number 4.
Yes, number 4. Now, this is the one where I think I might get some shit.
Okay, let's see.
All right, 1981 was the year this movie came out, and it stars Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise. It is Cannonball Run.
Now, it's a race movie, so I would consider
it's a race movie. It's so not like a NASCAR movie.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna argue it because I can see where you're coming from.
Okay,
you got me. You got me. You got me. I like it. I like it.
They're racing across the country.
They are. They are. It is a race
for a prize, and we, you know, there's some ambulance stealing.
Mm-hmm.
A very creepy Jack Elam.
Jack Elam.
We have Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin drinking and driving through the whole movie.
Yep.
It is fantastic. And we have Adrienne Barbeau trying to show her titties off. And Farrah Fawcett. Who falls in love with Burt Reynolds, because who didn't fall in love with Burt Reynolds in the 1980s? That mustache, that laugh. It was, you know, charming and magical. So that is my number 4. No spoilers, but Dom DeLuise ends up being the hero of this movie at the end. Mm-hmm.
It's a 41-year-old movie, so I don't think there's any spoilers.
Hey. I have turned people on to Cannonball Run who are my age and, well, obviously younger, because there's not a lot of people older than me. you know, and who have never heard of it. And it always just, like, astounds me. I'm like, how have you never heard of Cannonball Run?
There's a thing on Robot Chicken that I love. They made fun of Cannonball Run, and they actually had Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds doing the voices on the sketch.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's cool.
And they had, like, Mario Brothers. They had Dom from Fast and Furious. They had a bunch of characters, like, a whole bunch of characters. Like, and there they had, like, Chips. they had Batman Robin from, like, the 60s. they had a bunch of, like, doing all the Cannonball Run stuff. And they had, of course, Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds, you know, doing the dialogue for that. It was just hilarious.
I'm going to have to watch it.
Yeah.
I've looked that up. That sounds funny.
It's all right. Very nostalgic.
Cool. I no shit from me, Brenda. I'm counting it. Okay. You got it. Anyone who wants to deal with it, deal with me first, and then
that's right. No shit to Brenda.
I will fight them for you, Brenda. Pete, number four.
It's one of my '90s favorites. It is White Men Can't Jump. With Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes and Rosie Perez. And okay. Woody Harrelson plays a white basketball player who they seem to think that he doesn't know how to play and stuff and everything on an urban court, like to say it like that. And he actually fascinates so much because he conned Wesley Snipes' character that they decided to make this plan to con other people, like, you know, like to make them think like he doesn't know how to play and he knows how to play.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of the other good parts in there was Rosie Perez. She was a Jeopardy fanatic in that movie. Yeah. She loves her Jeopardy. That movie was great and all the thing. And it's like I said, I forgot to mention too, Woody Harrelson was like running from the mob too. He was trying to get money just to pay him off for stuff that he did for betting on the stuff and all this other stuff. And really good movie. Like I said, I don't want to say too many spoilers. I'm not looking at my notes. I'm just going. So that's my number four. Might Man Can't Jump.
Hey, they're remaking that. That's going to come out like later this year.
Why?
It's a TV show. I think it's a TV show too, I think, right?
No, it's just going on Hulu. It's just going on Hulu.
Why? Why are they remaking it?
Because everything gets remade.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't need a remake, though. It's fine.
I just know.
On it?
I just know the white guy is Jack Harlow. I can't remember who the other guy is.
Who's Jack Harlow?
He's a rapper. Am I the only one over the age of 40 that knows who Jack Harlow is? What the fuck? When did I become the cool hip one of rabbit hole?
He's like the one guest guy on every song lately.
Yeah, he's a rapper. He's from Kentucky. It doesn't matter.
Wait, what? Anyway.
But he's actually not a bad actor. He really is a good actor because he hosted SNL a few months ago, and he was actually oddly good. So, and then the trailer for this new movie actually looks kind of decent. So, I'm going to give it up to him. He can act as well. So, anyway, sorry to distress you, Brenda. I just wanted to break it up. All right, my number four, I have a question. You eat pieces of shit for breakfast? My number four is Happy Gilmore with Adam Sandler. This was in his heyday of early 90s films, you know, with the Billy Madison and Airheads and Happy Gilmore. And he had a pretty good run here in the early 90s. This is what happens if you take a hockey player and you force him to play golf? You get Happy Gilmore. Adam Sandler is Happy Gilmore, and he has to play golf to save his grandmother's house because it's about to get, like, sold or wrecked or something. I don't exactly remember that part of it. So he is banned from hockey, and so he discovers that because he's got a really wild swing because of all the hockey he plays, he can play golf really well. Despite, you know, him not liking golf a whole lot, that doesn't stop him from entering tournaments and trying to win a lot of money to save his grandmother's house. And then you got the villain Shooter McGavin, who's there. And then you got Chubbs, who's trying to teach him the ways of how to play golf. And he gets his hand eaten by an alligator. Oh man, yeah, this movie's classic.
Just the more you talk, the more ridiculous it is. Like, to think, is this really a movie? But, you know, I've seen it several times. I'm like, yeah, this is really a movie.
You forgot about the one important not cameo, but like special guest celebrity in there. Bob Barker.
Bob Barker, yeah. Nope, yeah. Bob Barker shows up as himself, and Price is Wrong, bitch.
Yes.
Yeah, I like this movie. This is cool. I still prefer Billy Madison if I had to pick between the two, but I do enjoy me some Happy Gilmore, and I, too, am not a fan of golf in the least bit. It is probably the most boring sport I've ever got to witness, because my grandfather was into golf, and he forced me to go with him a couple times, and I was just like, can I just die? Can I just go run into traffic? I'd rather do that than have to watch this. So, anyway, my number four.
It's kind of hard to believe that people actually watch golf. Like,
it is
boring enough to play.
It
like,
is weird.
I mean, I'm all right. Not a secret, because if you listen to our other podcast, you know I'm a lawyer, mm-hmm. and a lot of lawyers play golf, and they just love it. But I'm sorry, like my job is, you know, we sit a lot. I mean, golfing is like just sitting on your feet. It's not. It's like more like work.
I love that. Sitting on your feet. My number four is Happy Gilmore. That was good. I like that. Brenda, your number three.
My number three is also a golf movie. However, it is from, not surprisingly, 1980. And it stars Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, and a gopher. Yes, it is Caddyshack. I love this movie. Everything about this movie makes me giggle. You know, poop in a pool, you know, it's hilarious. I'm sorry. Poop in a pool is never not funny. Ted Knight, the character he plays, oh my God, Judge Smales is just, it's just perfect. He plays it so perfectly, and the perfect foil to him is Rodney Dangerfield.
Yes.
And he's something else. And I think this is the first thing I ever saw Rodney Dangerfield in. And I was probably inappropriately young when I saw it. But it's how I always remember my first impression of Rodney Dangerfield in that horrendous golfing outfit. And great theme song as well.
Kenny Loggins, baby.
Yeah, no Loggins and Messina bullshit. It's just
Kenny Loggins, yes. Indeed. All right. I did have Caddyshack. It was in my 6 through 10.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I do prefer Happy Gilmore. I'm sorry. If I had to pick a golf movie, I would rather watch Happy Gilmore. But
well,
I do
we all
like,
can't be right.
I do like Caddyshack. Don't get me wrong.
All right, I'm going to make you all laugh because that was my number three. Caddyshack.
Oh shit!
Awesome.
Oh, I'm gonna go. Hold on. Let me get over here. So, I'm all right.
Yeah.
I had to do that. Sorry. Because that's the whole movie. That thing right there. That whole dancing gopher. Yeah.
Yep.
So that was my quick number three.
Okay. Yeah. Hey. Unless you got something to add to that, but I don't think you can top dancing gopher. So we'll just move on. My number three is a biopic. It is a biopic of a scandal that happened in the 90s, but we get to see it from, I guess, the enemy's point of view. I'm talking about I, Tonya.
Ooh.
Starring Margot Robbie has Tonya Harding. We get her side of the events that happened between her and Nancy Kerrigan during the Winter Olympics of 92, I believe that was. And we get her entire life story from she was a kid up until she became a ice skater. And then she got into the Olympics and then the scandal, if you were. And then everything that happened afterwards. And it really makes her out as a sympathetic person. Because when you just see the news events and if you all three of us, we were probably teenagers when that happened. So I think all three of us remember that when it happened. Mm-hmm. When you were there, you're easy to villainize Tonya Harding because she fucking whacked or had someone whack Nancy Kerrigan in the fucking knees. And you're like, holy shit. But then like this movie kind of humanizes her a little bit. Towards the end of the movie, I kind of felt sorry for her. And I'm like, yeah, go club her knees, Tanya Harding. You deserve a chance. Fuck Nancy Kerrigan.
I always thought Nancy Kerrigan was a bit of a bitch. I mean...
Well, she did call Disney World corny or whatever it was that happened later that month. I don't know if anyone remembers that. She was on a float during a parade in Disney World or something. And
yeah. She
had her mic was on. And she's like, this is the most corniest shit I've ever done in my life. She didn't know her mic was on. And she got into trouble for that.
That hot mic has tripped up a lot of
Indeed. But yeah, this but this movie's great. Like, the performances were wonderful. Fucking Allison Jenny has Tanya's mom, and that fucking parrot, like, them two should have like won some award together, because it was like the parrot was part of the ensemble of Allison Jenny's character. Like, you needed that parrot. But no, everybody was great in this. I kept forgetting that was Margot Robbie, and I was like, that's fucking Tanya Harding on the screen. Like, it just was. I believed it. And like I said, it humanized Tanya Harding, which is really weird.
I think it's difficult to do given what she did, you know, post that whole scandal for like the next 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, she didn't help her cause.
She did.
I'll put it that way.
No, she did. She did a lot of weird shit after that. But
boxing thing. What the fuck?
She did boxing. She made a She released her sex tape.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody show of hands. Who's seen the sex tape? Wow, everyone's hands is up. Every people on the audio podcast, because we're not releasing this on video. Brenda and Pete raised both of their hands up at the same time. Man, that sex tape got around. Holy shit. I can't believe you guys also seen the sex tape. That's amazing. And nobody will defute this because they can't see. Anyway, my number three, you fucking pervs, is I, Tanya. All right, well, Brenda, your number two is the Tanya Harding sex tape, so all means. Tell us about it.
It was really blurry.
It was
like you know, back in the day. Never mind. Anyway, my real number two is from 1989, and it stars a pre-Tiger's Blood Charlie Sheen.
Ooh.
Corbin Burnson, post LA Law, I think before he was in the dentist movie.
yes.
Tom Berenger, who I like to call the poor man's Kevin Costner. And this movie is, of course, Major League. There's lots of famous one-liners in it. Bob Uecker, the great broadcaster who is still broadcasting for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, nice.
To this day, he's 1,000 years old, was on Mr. Belvedere.
Yes.
and man, he's still funny as fuck. But in this movie, he plays himself, you know, because, well, not really, but, you know.
He might as well.
He can't play anyone but himself.
He might as well.
You know, I watched this movie a couple years ago, and then I went down this rabbit hole of watching Bob Uecker interviews from the 70s on the Tonight Show, and the dude has like three stories that he tells over and over again, but they're always funny because it's Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
This movie's about baseball. It takes what it was then, the Cleveland Indians, who were playing very poorly. The owner dies. His trophy wife takes over. She has a scheme to move the team out of Cleveland to Florida. Having been to Cleveland, I must say I like it, but I'm a weirdo from the Midwest. So I prefer Cleveland over most parts of Florida. I lived in Florida, so I can also say that. But it's, you know... She does everything she can to derail the team, so they're no goodness, if you will. And she puts together probably, you know, the all these rejects, and Wesley Snipes also in this film.
Yeah.
Playing Willie Mays Hayes, a character. I think this was one of the movies that really kickstarted his career, or quite a bit, back in the day. But I like the movie. It's good for a laugh. It's not Citizen Kane, but it's a fun movie to watch. And I mean, the subplot, the love story makes me want to vomit a little bit, but besides that, because it's supposed to be a comedy and about baseball, shut up. That's it. I hate subplots like that. Like, they don't serve any purpose, you know.
The romantic subplot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the whole 80s was all the
subplots. It was like, yeah, it was one long romantic subplot.
Indeed. Yes. All right. That, too, was also in my 6 through 10 as well, so. Brenda's representing the later half of my list. Pete, what do you got for number two?
I actually got a serious sports movie. It is based off of real events from 1971. One of Denzel Washington's really good movies, Remember the Titans. When in 1971, a school had integrated a black school with a white school together, and they did their football team like that, and they had a whole bunch of controversy because of that. And really good movie. I don't want to say too much, like I said, because it's a lot going on with that movie. It's just really, you got to see it to know how good it is. It has a lot of people that you wouldn't expect in that movie, and I'm not going to go to what I was telling Jason about earlier, because I have my number one has that person in it. There's an amazing shock for an actor in my number one. But this movie has Ryan Hurst, who you know as Opie from Sons of Anarchy, in this movie. You have Gosling in this movie, Ryan Gosling. Mm-hmm. You have Ethan Suplee in this movie. You have Hayden Panettiere. You have Will Patton. You have David Faison. You have Kate Bosworth. A lot of people that you probably go, oh man, you know, I can't believe they're all in this movie. That's really good ensemble for a movie like this. But mm-hmm. It's like one of those movies that it'll make you think, like, you know, after you see it, like, you know, we all went to high school. We all had like our racial things going on back then. I'm not racial, thank God. But, you know, you know what I mean by that. It's just like, it's something that in this country, even now, still, we have a lot going on, you know, racism stuff, and it's crazy how that goes. Yeah. You know, I would go into political stuff from a few years ago. I'm not going to go there, but anyway, that's my number two.
All right. All right. Good pick. That's a good movie. I do enjoy that movie. It is a good one. My number two is my baseball pick. My number one is also technically a baseball pick, but my number two is one of my favorite movies from the early 90s. I was like 12, I think, when this came out, and it's called The Sandlot. It is a coming-of-age story about a group of kids who, during the summer of like 60-something, maybe like 50-something, like 60s, somewhere in the 60s, they all just got together in the neighborhood, and they all played baseball in a sandlot in their neighborhood. And next to the sandlot was a junkyard that had a very mean-sounding dog named Hercules. And the owner of the junkyard was a scary man who nobody knew who he was. And so they end up hitting a baseball into the junkyard. And they realize that the ball that they hit, because they needed a ball at the last second, so one of the kids ran home to grab one, was a autographed baseball by one Babe Ruth that was signed by the actual Babe Ruth. And so they had to go get the ball back because, A, it was actually this kid's dad's ball, and B, it's a fucking Babe Ruth. Like, I don't know shit about baseball, but I know Babe Ruth was, like, a good baseball player, to say the least. And so, you know, losing something like that, they didn't want to do. So then it turns into this kind of, like, Home Alone-esque style where they're building these traps to try to get the ball back from the yard without getting the dog's attention or the guy, the owner's attention. And it's just a fun movie. Wendy Peppercorn for life. You know, yeah, so much, so many great scenes in this movie. They do the chew and they get on the tilt-a-whirl. A lot of great stuff. I love this movie. I still watch it as a fucking 42-year-old adult man. And it's a good one. It's a good one. So it's a good, it is definitely, like, you know, for families, not necessarily a kids movie. So, you know, you can get some, you know, adults and kids to check this out if you haven't seen it. So if you haven't, go check it out. And that is The Sandlot, number two.
I have a quick random thing that actually deals with this.
Okay.
My when I first started getting a little tongue tied here, sorry. congested too. But when I first started at my job at the Strachan Van Til, we had a great grocery manager at the time over there named Tom Stalega. And we always got along, and he'd tell me, seriously, he'd tell me the famous line from the movie, "You're killing me, Smalls."
Yes.
You know, right? You know. Because, you know, if I get something wrong or whatever, you know, when you teach me stuff, he goes, "You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me." Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have a t-shirt that says that, actually.
I think I do too, actually.
Yeah.
Great. I've seen the t-shirt. That's a cool t-shirt.
All right, you guys, we made it to our number ones. I'm very excited. So, Brenda, what is your number one, my friend?
Not surprising to anyone, it's a baseball film. But it's more in the dramatic vein. It is 1988, and it stars the regular person's Kevin Costner, and it's Bull Durham.
Oh, and okay.
I think this movie is one that it's a very adult baseball movie. You know, the storyline, it's, you know, it's very sexual themes in it, with Susan Sarandon sort of being a whore. You know, she picks her, you know, one player every year to whore around with for the season. And I mean, at least she's, you know, consistent for one season. But, you know, she does fall in love with Kevin Costner while banging the other dude, Tim Robbins, who in her real life ended up being her maybe husband. I don't know if they were actually married. I don't, whatever their weird thing was for like the whole 1990s. But anyway, it's a minor league baseball game, and I absolutely love minor league baseball. I've been to a lot of stadiums, mostly in the Midwest. I think I've been, I guess, to Atlantic, you know, because I've been to couple in Pennsylvania, but minor league baseball, there's nothing like it. And I think that Bull Durham really captures the spirit and the essence of what minor league baseball games are like. Some of the nuances that you might not necessarily catch if you just watch baseball on TV casually. You see, if you go to these minor league games and see, even to the, you know, Railcats here in Gary, you see the struggle of these younger players, and you know that they make no money, they have no amenities whatsoever, and it's truly for the love of the game that these guys play. And I think that despite it being a romantic love story, which I generally despise, this does take the grand romance of baseball and it wraps it really nice up into a bow and makes it a great film. And I dig it. That's it. My number one.
Bull Durham, yes. I remember my dad renting that when I was a kid, and then like 5 minutes in, he told me to leave the room.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a kid's movie. And no. I actually didn't see this movie until I was in my like 30s. Like, oh, you know, okay. I was too immature to handle it, I think. Mm. I'm actually still too immature to handle it.
Yeah.
But
you're in the right crowd.
I do have my mature moments.
Yeah, this is true.
No,
I mean, no. I mean, yeah, no, I don't know what I'm talking about. You're down what you're talking about, Brenda. Anyway, Pete, save me. What's your number one?
Alrighty. My number one is actually a classic Disney film. And no, it's not animated. It is The Mighty Ducks.
Ah.
You got Gordon Bombay, who's a lawyer, and he gets in this trouble where he has to coach a hockey team.
That's totally unrealistic, by the way. No lawyer would ever get ordered to do that. They would be getting ordered to stay away from children before they would ever be ordered
to work with children.
Because they'd be cussing a lot, too, probably. I know that already. I know a few lawyers. My aunt worked with lawyers. She worked with Vodorliak. So he ends up having the coach this hockey team for kids and stuff and everything and all that. And as he goes along, he finds out that one of his rivals is actually his old hockey coach. And it becomes like a thing, like, okay, you know, his the things that made him not want to play hockey start coming back, and he starts getting the fears of all this stuff because the coach treated him like shit and all this other stuff, you remember. The cast is great. You have a bunch of people in there. I know I'm not trying not to ruin anything. That's why I'm spoiler free with the stuff. I'm going to go down the line, and there's one very, very interesting person in this list.
Okay.
First, you got Joshua Jackson. You all know who he is, right?
Yep.
You got Vincent LaRusso. You got Eldon Henson. You got Garrett Ratliff. You got Margaret Moreau. You got Matt Doherty. You got Sean Weiss. And wait, hold on. Jesse Smollett. Jesse Smollett was in that shit.
Wait, are we sure he was in it? He could be making it up.
Yeah.
Has this been checked out? Someone investigated this?
But yeah, okay. That's why I was joking around about that. I'm not making this up. if you don't want to joke about that, everybody, and podcast land, you know what I'm saying about making stuff up on him, but anyway. but yeah, it's one of my favorite movies. I watched it a lot as a kid and a teenager and stuff, and it became a really good TV show later on when they rebooted it on Disney Plus. He was only there for one season, Emilio Estevez, but still, to bring back that nostalgia, that was great.
That's cool.
That was my number one, Richter.
Okay. All right, Mighty Ducks, indeed. Okay, well, might be my turn to get some shit, because my number one is about a sport that's made up. It's not a real sport. It combines two real sports, but the sport that the movie is about is not a real sport. And also, I might get shit because a lot of people don't like this movie, but I don't give a fuck. It's one of my favorite comedies. It is basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Trey Parker, Matt Stone of a South Park fame. This was written and directed by David Zucker, who was one of the three guys who made Airplane. And among other comedies in the late 70s, early 80s. He is an iconic, comedy film writer. This movie is fucking hilarious. It's about these two slackers who are just not at all into anything, really. And they inadvertently invent a sport, which slowly starts getting some steam across the country. And soon, we jump forward about 5 years later, and it's now a major sport that gets played all across the country. And the movie is, just about the team, the Bears, the team is called. And probably the one that steals the show is Squeak. The little guy they're always pushing around. They call him little bitch. They just push him around. They make him sleep in dresser drawers. They just basically just abuse this man. But he is probably the funniest thing in the movie. There's a sequence in this film that I laugh every single time because they make fun of the trope that's in a lot of sports movies where there's a sick kid and the kid is a fan of the player. And so the player goes to visit the kid, and the kid's like, "Can you shoot? Can you get a home run for me?" And he's like, "Yeah, kid, I got you." They make fun of that whole thing, and it's just fucking brilliant. Trey Parker and Matt Stone are not the greatest of actors. I'm going to admit that. But they do have interesting comedic timing, so I think that's kind of what makes it work. You got Ernest Borgnine as the owner of the team who gets killed. Jenny McCarthy, speaking of, trophy wife, who actually gets part of the team. So this is probably a little bit of a, you know, Major League parody in this as well. And then you got Robert Vaughn as the guy that wants to exploit the game of basketball. And there's a lot of things in here, a lot of great jokes, a lot of great lines. Robert Stack plays himself, has the unsolved mysteries. There's a little unsolved mysteries bit in this movie. If you haven't seen it and you just thought it looked stupid, I say give it a chance. You have to be into dumb comedies, and clearly I'm into dumb comedies. I put this and Happy Gilmore on the same list, and I'm sure someone's shaking their head at me. Oh, Brenda, don't shake your head at me. Brenda. Oh, Brenda. Oh, I disappointed Brenda, ladies and gentlemen.
My life in constant disappointment, so.
I'll have to beg for Brenda's forgiveness later. Anyway, my number one is basketball, and that is it, I think. Real quickly, was there any movies that like are on your honorable mentions that like you couldn't fit in? You guys want to just say them really quickly?
I have two. As well. I mean, mine are both baseball movies, and one I feel like I need to explain, but there's two. One, well, I talk a lot, so sorry. One, Bad News Bears, the original, with Walter Matthau. It's a great film. It's really not a kid's movie at all, but you know, it's sort of sold that way. And the other one, which I feel like I need to explain because I actually removed it from the list deliberately because I couldn't justify putting it on here. And it's a league of their own. And the reason why I can't justify putting this in like a top five or even top 10 really is that individually I hate every single actor or actress in this film. I hate them. Like, but the movie itself and the story is very good. I can't stand Tom Hanks. I can't stand him. Rosie O'Donnell, I don't give a fuck about her. Madonna can't act for shit. And Gina Davis, I can't buy her as a baseball player. I just, no. And Lori Petty, I mean, she gets on my nerves so much. I want to just choke her. But the movie's good. And it's a decent story. But each individual actor, and then they put them all together. But it's just offensive. And now everyone hates me in the whole world who listens to
this. The Tom Hanks part is the one that got me. I'm okay with you not liking everybody else. The Tom Hanks part is the one I'm like...
No, it's just no. I can't. Wow. It's just too much. I think I was oversaturated with Tom Hanks during like this certain period of my life. Like it was just Tom Hanks was in everything and he was winning all these awards and like Philadelphia and then he was in some other shit and then that other shit and then the volleyball movie. Oh, is that that's a sport movie, right?
Yep, it does have volleyball in it.
I think I got like oversaturated with Tom Hanks. I can't stand the guy. Like I can't even look at him. I just want to like punch a TV every time he's on it. Sorry.
Well, okay. I have an opinion. That was shocking to hear. Pete, let's quickly go on to you. What were you about to say?
Jerry Maguire, I really like. You know, I mean, it was more about it was about the football with the Cuba Gooding. I mean, Jerry Maguire with the sports part for that. Okay. Got the Tom Cruise in there. It was more of a love story, though, for that one, but it was still good. Then you have Rocky. You can't go wrong with Rocky. Yo, Adrian. Yo. I mean, I'm going down the list real fast. There's a few other ones, too. There's the one that talked about wrestling earlier, the one about Paige, the wrestler Paige.
I don't name the movie, but I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of it right now either.
I can't think what it's called. Maybe I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was pretty decent.
Okay.
So that was my honorables.
Okay. Well, if you out there listening want to submit to us your top five sports movies, you can email me at whateverjasonsoda@gmail.com and we will say them on the air. So, Brenda, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. You're a lot of fun to talk to. You are not on social media for reasons, but I will do your plug for you. You are my co-host on the FBI's Most Unwanted podcast, where once a month we take a look at two episodes of the X-Files going in order. We are still in season one, and so we have to get through season one before I think we get to anything fun. But it's not been bad. The show has been fun. There's just some wacky shit coming up. That's all I know.
There is. I'm looking forward to some wacky shit.
Yes. But the first season is good. It's really good, you guys. I promise. So go check out the FBI's Most Unwanted.
And I'm a fucking delight.
Yeah.
Brenda is a fucking delight.
I talk about tight pants, if you liked tight pants.
And long hair in baseball. And,
oh, yeah.
So if you want to hear about X-Files.
Update ready.
If you want to hear about X-Files and baseball all in one, go check out the FBI's Most Unwanted over at rabbitholepodcast.com. Brenda, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Brenda. It's nice meeting you. You're great. You're awesome. I think if we did another podcast about something else, we'd probably be joking around too much. One quick thing before we go, since we mentioned it earlier, I am a White Sox fan deep down at heart. But in honor of my buddy Bob, hey Cubbies, go Cubbies! Yeah, you know I can't do his voice right now, but yeah, that's, you know, and you know who Bob is, so you know how he used to say, hey, how about those Cubs? Yeah, you know.
Pete, I do know who. Yes, yeah, I do.
I know. Just saying, you know his voice. I'm trying to do his voice.
Yes, yeah, I got you. So. All right. Well, until next time, everyone. Thank you all very much for listening. We will catch you in a couple of weeks. Later.
Have a good night, everybody. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Copyright 2023, Rabbit Hole Podcasts, rabbitholepodcasts.com.